Welcome back to our 17th talk in the Book of Revelation entitled Revelation, a message for our troubled times. And it is a message for our troubled times, friends, isn't it? It shows us how God is dealing with the world in these times that of trouble and strife that we are going through. And those things will increase as the world comes to an end, as we see in this book. And we're seeing the reason for it. Man will not listen to God. He sends out his witnesses into the world, his church and his people, bringing the scriptures to the people, bringing the gospel of the scriptures to the people, showing the people that wonderful way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. But does man want to know? No, man does not want to know. Even as friends and relatives have converted around him, he will not turn to God, and he will not have God for himself. And so God sends down his warnings upon the world, discomforting the world and making the world realize that there is more to live for than this world and the things of this world. Does man listen? No, not even to the warnings of God. He rejects the warnings of God, and therefore God sends down his temporal judgments and punishments upon the world, taking away all the comforts that man has, and a third of the world being affected by this. But the rest of the world looks on, and those who are affected by it, do they repent? No. These things do not bring men to repentance. There's only one thing that brings men to repentance, and that's the gracious work of the Holy Spirit in men's hearts and souls. When God does that great work, in spite of man's rebellion and in spite of man's wickedness, when God does that work of mercy and love, then souls are saved. But as the world turns against him, and as the world rejects his message, less and less people are being converted and brought to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as God turns against the world and takes his mercies and his goodness and his kindness away from the world, even taking his gospel away from men and women. And as men and women see churches closing, and as men and women see the gospel being marginalized and silenced by the law and by other means around the world, they rejoice. How foolish they are to rejoice in taking away from them of the opportunity to hear the wonderful, gracious gospel of Jesus Christ and that way of salvation that their God has made through giving his Son to be a saviour to the world, to all those who will believe upon him. Man cuts off his nose to spite his face, doesn't he? And he certainly does when he rejects the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is only one way of salvation: Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, the only Saviour that God has given to this world for mankind to come back to him. Well, friends, I hope and pray that that's not true of you, and that you have listened to God and you have sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And what a wonderful Saviour he is, keeping us and blessing us through these troubled times, and one day taking us to be with him for ever and all eternity. Well, we're in the fifth section of this book. Now the wrath of God is being poured out upon the world. God is coming down upon mankind. Individuals are experiencing it, as we see in this book. And for some, this wrath is the end of their lives and the calling of them individually to the judgment seat of God, to await that time when the Lord Jesus Christ will take that seat and be the judge of all men. But for others, it is when the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the last day to wind up this evil world. And as the world progresses to that time, more and more of the wrath of God is coming upon the earth. And man is experiencing more and more of the wrath and less of the temporal judgments or the warnings, as as Jesus Christ's time comes, when he will come into this world and wind up this world. Well, let's have a look at the seven bowls of God's wrath. God is in his temple. God is preparing that time. God is fuming in his wrath against man because man has rejected him and all God's overtures to him to come to repentance. And now man must experience wrath because that is all that's left for him. All that is left is God to deal with him in justice according to his laws. And he must pay for the sins that he has done in his life. So, chapter 16. Let me just read you the first portion of chapter 16. First one. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So these judgments of God are righteous, as we will see. It is what God, what man is due for their sinful wickedness and for their persecution of God's witnesses upon the earth. But what we notice first of all is how these first three bowls and the other bowls also correspond to the trumpets that announce the judgments, those temporal judgments and punishments of God. The earth is affected, the sea is affected, and the springs of water are affected, and the sun is affected. These things correspond closely to those things that are affected by the temporal judgments of God. And that's because the same event can be, for one person, a warning, for another person, a judgment and a punishment, and for another person, that wrath of God experienced in their lives when all else has failed and now they must face that final judgment of God, either as an individual or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again together, when the world experiences the wrath of God. And all men stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, let's look at these bowls of wrath then. The first three. So, in verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So the earth is being affected. And here, all those comforts that we live for, and those things that we enjoy upon the earth are being taken away from us. And they're finally being taken away from us. You know, when you're on your deathbed, the things of this world, they mean nothing. Nothing at all. All the things, the money that you've accumulated in the banks, all the wonderful things that you've enjoyed in this earth, all of them, all the things that you've lived for and given up God for, well, what are they? They are nothing. Now, all that matters is health, whether you're going to recover, whether you're going to die. And if you are dying, then what happens? Where will you go? Will you have to face the judgments of God? Those are the things that matter now. All the things of the world seem petty and trivial and unimportant to you. So, here we see those things being taken away. Man is being discomforted and man is dying. because of those things that he has lived for. Then the second bowl is poured out, verse 3, on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. And as we've seen, the sea represents trade, it represents business, it represents food, it represents all these things, and those things are dying. Here, because of the wrath of God, they are dying. And we only have to look at COVID-19, don't we? A flu bug, a virus, a very virulent virus, that is true, but a little virus. And what has it done to the world? It's brought the world almost to its knees. Countries are almost bankrupt. They have run up great debts, our country has. And businesses have had to close. Men and women have lost their jobs and don't know where they are going to find a new job. The world has been severely hit as a consequence of this virus. And that's how easy these things can be taken away from us. We think they exist forever. We think the big corporations will exist forever. But they won't. And God will take that, will allow these things to perish and die because of our rebellion against him. Because we've lived for these things and we have invested in these things. I used to work in a company, a big company, and people there have been there all their lives, and they used to give their whole soul over to the job, loyalty they gave to the workplace and to their company. They would be there till late at night. They would be there all weekend. They would slave to do their job, and in the end, the company mistreated them. Just before they got to their retirement age, the company made them redundant. So they got their pension was severely hit because it was a company pension, and it meant more money for the company if they got rid of them early. These people, some of them committed suicide. They'd given their whole life over to that company, and the company turned on them. You see, companies, we live for them. We are living for things that will perish and will not support us and will not be there for us. We need to live for God. We need to be faithful and true in our workplace, but we need to live for God. He who is a faithful master and always be there for us. So these things are being hit and being destroyed around us. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And the rivers of water are the life-giving springs of the earth, and they represent everything that is necessary for life. All the necessities that we have in the world, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, all those things are absolutely necessary for life. And they are hit, aren't they? And they are being hit. The quality of the air that we breathe is being hit. The water that we drink, there's famines in so many places in the world. That is being hit as well. And fresh water is becoming a thing of short supply for so many people. The same as food. It's not just at times of war that food is hit, but it's even times of a virus, isn't it? It became difficult to buy food, and during the first few months of COVID-19, things are getting more back to normal now. But even food was difficult to come by for some people, and so we see that towards the end, these things will become severely hit by the wrath of God, and some will die because of these things, and they will then be awaiting the judgment of God. Now all this is our due, all of it, just as the angel sang. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints of the prophets. That's what the world has done. The witnesses of God have been persecuted, churches have been closed, they're being closed even now in places like China and North Korea and other places where Christians are not allowed to worship, in the Middle East and other places where Christians are persecuted and murdered for their faith and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is God supposed to sit by and allow these things to happen and not recompense justly those who have persecuted his church and his people for nothing, for spreading the gospel of mercy and the love of God? Is he supposed to sit by, friends, and just accept man's rebellion? You have given them blood to drink, for it is their due. It is our due, isn't it? Our rebellion against him, not wanting him. So God says, you don't want me? Then I will take my blessings away from you. If you don't want them, you will not have them. And the consequences are, this world is falling to pieces. And we are experiencing what it is to live without God, not live under his just laws, not live under his mercies and his kindness towards us. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. They are, friends. They are according to his laws and according to his righteousness, which is pure and holy. None can fault him in his righteousness, and none can fault his laws in their justice, and we will all be judged by them. And what a wonderful thing it is to have a Saviour. We're all deserving of God's wrath and God's judgment because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve his mercy. None of us deserve heaven and to be welcomed by him. But some of us, those who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, have had their sins forgiven, taken away as far as the east is from the west, and we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are safe in him and safe in him forever. That is not what we deserve. It is an act of wonderful mercy from our God, the mercy of forgiveness, because Christ has died and taken our sin and taken the due punishment for our sins upon himself, and now we go free. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Wrath is coming, but not for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We deserve it, but we have found mercy, everlasting mercy and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's only the first three bowls. There are four more to come. Verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl, and the sun and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent. So here we see the fourth bowl, and the sun is being affected. The sun, we all need the sun, don't we? It's so evident. Just a rudimentary knowledge of science teaches us that we all need the sun. And yet the sun becomes our persecutor. We live for the sun. And we enjoy the sun. Some people worship the sun. And I don't mean those people who go away on some island off the coast of Scotland and there in their pagan beliefs do literally worship the sun. I mean those many of us who are sun worshippers who revel in it, who the first moment the sun comes out, we strip off and we lay in the sun and we suck up its rays and we spend enormous amounts of money going on holidays so that we can get the sun, and the sun is everything to us. But what does it do to us? It dries up our skin. It gives us skin cancer. It scorches the earth. And as the world is coming to an end, and the ozone layer is being depleted, nothing can stop that, friends, because It is because the world is becoming to an end, and the ozone layer is part of the resources of the world, which are depleting. So the sun is doing more and more damage. We need it, the life, but it's becoming death to so many people, and increasingly so in this fallen world. Then the fifth bowl. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the thrones of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. So the fifth bowl represents the kingdoms of the earth, the wise men of the earth, those things that rule the earth, those people and those nations. And what are we finding? Darkness. We should find wisdom, but there is no wisdom. As man turns against God's wisdom, which is truth, what is left to him but error? And so he blindly goes around in his own error. And we look for wisdom from men, and we find no wisdom. So men turn to other things for wisdom. They try to find their wisdom in stones. They try to find their wisdom in the stars of the sky. And they look for guidance from the stars of the sky. They try and find their wisdom in songs, pop songs. Incredible, absolutely incredible, the darkness that is in this world, the ignorance that is in this world. But there's darkness also in justice. Men try and search everywhere for justice, and they don't find justice. What they find is injustice. What they find is unjust laws based upon men's prejudice. We're supposed to be a liberal country, aren't we? Liberalism means that everybody can have their own view. But now we find a militant liberalism, where nobody is allowed to have their own view unless it is the liberal view. It's incredible, isn't it? Where is the justice? Where is the light? No, everywhere is darkness. And that is increasing as the world comes to an end. What do men do? Do they turn back to God? No, they don't. They blaspheme him. They blame him. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now there's a lot spoken about Armageddon, isn't there, in this world? And there are some very foolish films made about Armageddon and what will happen in Armageddon. Armageddon represents a place where, in the Old Testament, a great valley where a battle against God's people occurred, and God won a great victory over his enemies. And Armageddon is that final last battle of the world against God. They are mustering their forces against God, and God will have his day, and God will strike a blow, and they will be destroyed. Man is heaping up wrath for himself, isn't he? Even in his rebellion against God. They fight, they wave their arms against him, they strike at him, they strike at his people. But all they are doing is heaping up judgment upon themselves for that day of wrath that is to come. And here we see it. Man, they are mustering their forces. There's becoming in this world a common resentment towards God in the nations. There's becoming a common view around the world. Man is agreeing. Nations are agreeing in their opposition towards God and the things of God. They are accepting that things that are against God whatever is against God and opposing those things that are for God. And as that increases, as the world comes to an end, it comes to a climax where man is set against God, and God then comes down and strikes a final blow upon mankind and destroys mankind. That is Armageddon. That final mustering of mankind against God, opposing God, and God striking a final blow of judgment and wrath upon mankind. And that's what we see there. And they are stirred up by the dragon. They're stirred up by Satan to bring about this final battle against God and finally be destroyed by God. Well, there is one more bowl. And that bowl, that seventh bowl, is the final judgment. He is coming, verse 15 we're told, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming in judgment, not as a saviour this time, but as a great king who will overcome his enemies finally, once and for all, and this world will have to face the judgment of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." You see, it's done. No more mercy, no more warnings. It is done. Now there is only judgment. "And there were noises and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth." This is the end of the world. It's being wound up. Mankind is experiencing terrible things at this time. The stars of the earth are falling. The sun and moon are falling out of the sky. And the earth is being burnt up in a great conflagration of fire. "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, since the plague was exceeding great." You see that, friends? Even at the end, men in their foolishness, rather than turning back to God, realizing that this is the punishment of God, do they repent? No. Sadly, they will not repent. Sadly, all they will do is blaspheme God for the judgments, for the righteous judgments that they are experiencing at that end, when God is finally winding up this world and all men are being called to that final last judgment seat of Christ.